a Fueled by Coffee production.
My name's Ben Barrell, and this is Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that brings you an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. Except we're not really doing that this week. This week we are doing like we do every single season. We're having a look at a particular song in a special episode. And this song we're looking at today isn't the best by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm fascinated by it, and there's a good reason for that. We'll get to that in just a second. First though, hi to Ollie, who sent me an email in the week. You can email too via bobdylanpodcast.com. He emailed about the Infidels episode. Now, if you've not heard that episode, then allow me to fill you in on the backstory to this. Basically, I like that record. I think there's some good songs on it. But Dylan performed some songs from it on the David Letterman show, and he changed the style up for them. He mostly went with a kind of punk rock new wave style for these songs. And there's a live version of Joker Man in this style on YouTube that is so incredible. I love it. I think I prefer it to the actual recorded version. It's one of my favourite Dylan live cuts ever. If you've not heard it, then I'll put a link to it in the episode's description. It's worth a listen. It's so, so great. And I essentially said on that episode, I would love it if someone covered those songs or did those songs in that style, preferably Dylan. But I don't think that's going to happen these days. Anyway, it turns out someone has done that. Ollie says his name is Daniel Romano, and he's a singer-songwriter in his own right, a very talented singer-songwriter by all accounts, and he's covered the whole album of Infidels in pretty much that kind of punk rocky new wave style. It's a really good listen. I downloaded it straight away. It's on Bandcamp, and again, I'll put the link into the episode's description, but that is also worth your time. And if, like me, you've craved that kind of sound for these songs in a studio environment, then your dreams have come true, essentially. Also in the episode's description is my Buy Me a Coffee link, and thank you to everyone that has bought me a coffee over the last week or so. There's been so many coming in. I really appreciate that. I've got to say hi to Larry, thanks for that. Hi to Duncan Herwood. Hello Jan, hello Clark and Max and Peter. Hello Michael Roth, hello Joe Duncan. Hello to Gerald Williams. Hello to someone wishing to remain anonymous. Could it be an international spy? We just don't know. Thank you to everyone that's bought me a coffee. Look, let's stop wittering. Let's get on with today's episode. Let's have a look at 1965's Can You Please Crawl Out Your Window? This song is often overlooked when it comes to Dylan's singles of the time, but most songs would be. Coming as a third act to Like a Rolling Stone and Positively 4th Street, which are, in my opinion, two of the best songs a singer-songwriter has ever written, is bound to be a little difficult. However, Can You Please Crawl Out of Your Window isn't an undervalued entity. It's not particularly brilliant in any sense, but it does have something that is often not credited to it, and that is potential. While the single is the black sheep of this era, coming in on the Billboard chart at number 58 to Like a Rolling Stones charting of number 2 or 4th Street 7, it could have been different, but the song got away from Dylan. The Sonics here echo both the two preceding singles and the Highway 61 Revisited album, but it also has its own identity too. There's a dominant organ sound and that tacked piano we're used to from this era, and we also see some surreal lyrics, another hallmark of the period. But at the same time, we have that cymbal being played on the bell, giving us the song's signature cowbell-type sound. The tune also contains a proper guitar riff. While obviously we have these elsewhere in Dylan's career, it's not as a common occurrence as you'd expect in this era. A lot of the time on Highway 61, Dylan chooses to have riffs or the track's dominant instrument played on anything but the guitar. The organ on Like a Rolling Stone, for example, the piano on Queen Jane, or even the whistle on the title track. This shift gives Can You Please Crawl Out Your Window a point of difference. The guitar is centre stage with an ever so slightly country-leaning rock riff. He sits in your room, his tomb with a fistful of tags. These components give the track an upbeat and accessible nature. You can see why it was issued as a single. It ticks a lot of boxes. But it's also a tune that lacks depth. And for me, that's down to the Sonics. While the song's slight variations on Dylan's sound of the time does freshen things up a little, the additions also muddy that weird Highway 61 sound, making it a little more conservative and a little less interesting. It doesn't thrill like some other songs of the era, it just lacks a bit of edge. The lyrics in Positively 4th Street blew us away, so does the majesty of Desolation Row, and Tombstone Blues' Breakneck Pound keeps us on the edge of our seat. This song, though, by comparison, just trundles along. It's better elsewhere. The lyrics are curious in a good way. There is an obsession in the press still to this day about Dylan's relationship with the socialite Edie Sedgwick, the woman who is often cited as the inspiration for Like a Rolling Stone. In reality, there's a lot of evidence to say their relationship wasn't this great love story it's often painted out to be, and possibly it wasn't even a proper relationship at all. I have my doubts that she is the main inspiration behind Dylan's masterpiece, but, and this is a big but, if there was to be a song about her from Dylan, this, for my money, would be it. We hear of a complicated, bitter man cursing the dead who can't answer him back, as Dylan tells us in the first verse. We also hear some lines that fit with the whole Sedgwick Warhol narrative, which, if you don't know, is essentially he is responsible for her decline from socialite to drug addict, casting her out of his factory scene where he'd grown tired of her as a muse. She would eventually die of an overdose at 28. The lyrics here are, "You know that he has no intentions of looking your way unless it's to say that he needs you to test his inventions." We certainly hear of a Warhol-type figure elsewhere in the lines of, "If he needs a third eye, he just grows it. He just needs you to talk or to hand him his chalk or pick it up after he throws it." In reality, it really doesn't matter if it's him or them in this song. Our narrator is trying to coerce a woman away from a lover or perhaps a domineering father who appears not to be the nicest person in the world. "Your face is so bruised," Dylan tells us at one point, alluding to domestic violence. But in reality, our narrator doesn't sound like the best person either. At times, it's almost like he's taking advantage of this vulnerable person. Bob repeats the phrase, "Use your hands and legs, it won't ruin you," which has almost a bullying feel about it. Although, having said that, this could be the result of its time. It was a witty comment in the 60s that now in 2020 just feels a little off. Either way, he's trying to seduce this person, trying to get them to come out and play, to have a good time, to forget their worries and join our narrator in his world. It ends with a self-referential nod to Dylan's previous song as he sings, "You've got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend if you won't come out your window," part of which was the defining line from the song Positively 4th Street. That was a scornful tirade against someone who'd wronged Dylan, but here he's poking fun at all that and cutting loose. He's laughing at himself, po-faced, as he almost says jokingly, "You thought I was mad before on Positively 4th Street, well I'll be even more mad if you don't leave your lover and come and see me." It's an ad-libbed line that shows Dylan wasn't always intense during this time and was more than up for laughing at everything, including himself. This song comes from the same sessions as the Highway 61 Revisited album, and we're still on the major themes of that record. Just like we saw with Queen Jane and Like a Rolling Stone and Tombstone Blues, this is a song about escape and decline. On Like a Rolling Stone, we heard details of a lost member of the creative establishment, possibly Edie Sedgwick. On Tombstone Blues, we were looking for comfort away from the madness. Here, though, we see a rescue attempt, which is not a million miles away from what's going on in the story of Queen Jane. "Won't You Come See Me, Queen Jane" has the same sentiment as "Please Crawl Out Your Window." In fact, an alternative version of this song even has a similar feel to Queen Jane sonically.
"Sits in your room, his tomb, with his fist full of tacks. Preoccupied with his vengeance, cursing the dead that can't answer him back."
This version, released on the Cutting Edge bootleg, is evidence of just how frustrating this song would become. The lyrics are the same as the release single pretty much, but the sonics are wildly different. It features a much more relaxed tone. Gone is the tapping on the single's bell, and it's replaced with a soft snare drum. The organ is gone too, and it's replaced with a glockenspiel, or perhaps a celeste adding some twinkle to the piece. This is all accompanied by some tacked Highway 61 sounding piano. I think this take, while less fun, has a little more depth. The alternative cut comes from a session in Studio A of Columbia's recording studios in New York. It was recorded on the 30th of July 1965. In the session, we get four attempts at From a Buick 6 and then 17 takes of Can You Please Crawl Out Your Window. Clearly, it wasn't what Bob wanted, or his record company for that matter. There's evidence to suggest they were looking for a quick single to follow up like a Rolling Stones strong chart placing, and why wouldn't you want to strike whilst the iron is hot? But it wasn't to be. Well, not in the way they'd intended, anyway. They revisit the song in a session on October the 5th in studio time that we can loosely call an early Blonde on Blonde session, despite the fact there was no Blonde on Blonde tracks cut during it. In fact, no songs from it make it onto an official album at all. Finally, on the 30th of November, months and months and two album sessions after its initial recording attempt, the single version is captured. It was done during the first proper Blonde on Blonde sessions. There are 14 attempts at Visions of Johanna and 10 attempts at Can You Please Call Out Your Window, with 5 false starts, a version that breaks down, a rehearsal, and 3 complete takes. The final complete take is the one we hear as the single. Clearly, it was a struggle. And you get the feeling they just thought, that'll do for this version, especially given that it was released in December, weeks after its recording. As we know, it had a lukewarm reception in the charts, and that was the case critically too. In fact, when Dylan played the song to Phil Oakes as the two were riding in a limousine, he voiced negative feelings to Bob. Bob immediately ejected him from the limousine, yelling, "You're not a folk singer, you're a journalist." And rightfully so, you shouldn't be critiquing Dylan in the mid-60s, no matter who you are. At times, this has been called a throwaway song, overshadowed by an incredible set from this era. But judging by its recording process, it was more of a missed opportunity. A song that became a means to an end, but could have been so much more. The main thing it does show us, though, is that Dylan, even at the height of his powers, didn't get it right all the time. It turns out he's human after all.
Now he sits in your room, his tomb with a fistful of tabs. Preoccupied with his vengeance. You got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. Come out your window. Hey, baby, come on out your window. Come on.
That's it for this special episode. As always, if you want to discuss it, you can find us bobdylanpodcast.com or Instagram and Twitter at bobdylanpodcast. Next time, we are doing what we did at the end of last season and doing a kind of special end of season run. Last time out, we looked at Dylan's Christian period over 3 or 4 episodes. This time, we're going to have a look at Dylan's Standards era over 3 or 4 episodes, where he was obsessed with covering Standards mainly, or specifically from Frank Sinatra. So join us next time as we begin that with a look at Shadows in the Night. Until then, thanks again for listening and goodbye.
A Fueled by Coffee production.